Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the June 2025 edition. The Grumpy Gardener. Our garden expert alleviates your growing pains, by Steve Bender. Dear Grumpy, with all the smartphone technology these days, can you recommend any digital gardening tools so I can spend less time working in the yard and more time watching TV? Rob. Tired of the old fresh air and sunshine? Rob? Yeah, that's so 1990s. The most obvious examples of tech in the garden today are sprinkler systems and lawnmowers you can program and control remotely using apps on your phone. But what if you download a virus that keeps your sprinkler running for weeks while you're sunning in Majorca, causing it to flood your teak wine cellar and cigar bar? Or a rogue file could send a smart mower crashing through its digital fence, making it buzz 2 inches of fur off a neighbor's cat. Will the product warranty or your homeowner's insurance cover that? Nope. Call me a Neanderthal, but I prefer a dumb shovel, trowel, or pruning saw that will fit in my hands and won't need updates. Log me out. Long live the queen. Grumpy, I feel like I have been living a lie. I just learned that Queen Anne's lace is non-native and invasive. Is this true? I'm almost 70 years old. It's been around all my life, and I've never seen it take over anything. Should I not sow seeds this fall? It's true that Queen Anne's lace is non-native. It's very closely related to the common carrot, which is basically an edible version of Queen Anne's lace. However, I don't consider it invasive at all. To me, it's just a pretty wildflower I look forward to seeing each year. Plus, black swallowtail caterpillars feed on its foliage, and the bees and butterflies enjoy its nectar. So, away. Clematis woes. I have a 10-year-old clematis vine. This year, it turned brown at the ground after it bloomed, and then the discoloration continued all the way up to the top. What happened, Anne? The culprit is a disease called clematis wilt. Its fungal spores live in dead stems and plant debris at the base of the vine, and then reinfect new growth the next year. Fungicides won't help. What you need to do is cut off all diseased foliage and the stems and throw them out with the trash. Also, discard debris around the base. The good news is that the fungus doesn't affect the roots, so the clematis will come back. To promote future health, ensure the vine isn't crowded by other plants, has good air circulation around it, and gets at least 6 hours of sun a day. Don't plant this. How can I get rid of Mexican petunias? I added just one, and now they're coming up everywhere. Sue. Often sold in garden centers, Mexican petunia boasts very pretty purple-blue flowers. However, it's a ruthless spreader, particularly one named Purple Showers in USDA zones 8 to 10. The roots grow deep and wide and are nearly impossible to dig up. Plus, it seeds itself all over. A volcano or asteroid might destroy it, but most people are afraid of such things. I suggest treating it according to label directions with a herbicide containing triclopyr, like Crossbow or Bio-Advanced Brush Killer. Hope for hydrangeas. I live in the Bay in Sarasota, Florida. Is there a hydrangea that will survive here? Carl. Wait, Carl. Do you actually live in the Bay? Unless you have a houseboat, neither you nor a hydrangea will ever reach old age. In any case, you're located right on the southern limit of where big leaf hydrangeas, the ones with blue or pink flowers, will flourish. Pick a spot that gets morning sun and afternoon shade. Amend the sandy coastal soil with plenty of organic matter, such as composted cow manure. Be prepared to water your hydrangeas frequently in hot weather. Remember to use only fresh water, not that from the bay. Grumpy's gripe of the month. I'm not growing tomatoes this year, not because I want to, but because I can't. Like all fruiting veggies, tomatoes need full sun to produce a decent crop. Unfortunately, the sunniest area on my property is in the front yard near the road. This is not a good place. Neighbors in the burbs don't like mater patches by the street. And if they did, you know that there would be a parade of SUVs, all with smoked windows and their lights turned off, inching by at night so the thieves could help themselves. I did try growing a Cherokee purple in the pot on my driveway once. Two measly tomatoes, the size of cue balls, took until September to ripen. Then a squirrel and a ski mask robbed them, of course. Know your plants. Persian Shield. Protect your garden's sterling reputation with this electrifying foliage plant. Persian Shields can do more than fend off sores. The gardening kind offers brilliant color from spring to fall. Its broadly oval, pointed leaves are 6 to 8 inches long, have a metallic sheen, and are variegated with magenta, silver, and green hues atop solid purple undersides. A perennial in USDA zones 9 and 10, and an annual elsewhere, Persian Shield grows 2 to 3 feet tall and wide. It does fine in flower beds, but I like it best in containers mixed with silver, blue, pink, and even orange plants. Give it fertile, moist, well-drained soil and part sun. Direct summer rays may bleach the colors, so pinch back any stems that get leggy. Steve Bender. Container Gardening, Summer Show-Offs by Betsy Watson. Treat them well, and these versatile groupings will dazzle all season long. Take it easy with greens. For a planter that can handle a little drying out between waterings, try this foliage-centric mix, which includes sago palm, germander, moonlight caladium, and creeping jenny. Position it in a spot that receives bright, indirect sun to avoid scorching the sago palm or causing the creeping jenny to yellow. This is kind of low maintenance, says Richmond, Virginia gardening pro Steph Green, who recommends fertilizing with a water-soluble all-purpose solution and removing the leaves as they fade. Sago palms are so slow-growing, so you won't have to do much trimming. Pick a combo with Staying Power. With its golden hour palette, this zippy mix of zinnias, coleus, lantanas, angel vines, and dead nettles is designed to go the distance. Just make sure it gets a few hours of morning sun and a break from the rays in the afternoon. If you plant this arrangement later in the summer and provide proper caregiving, the flowers, a blossom booster, and deadheading as needed, you can carry the zinnias into September and October as an alternative to mums. Should your lantanas get too leggy or your original plantings not hold up as well as you'd hoped, all is not lost. The beauty of containers is that you can pluck out what doesn't look good and replace it with something else that's fresh, Green says. Rely on dependable winners. This is a no-brainer beginner southern container, says Green of the hardy combination of Diplodinia, the shrubber alternative to Mandevilla, which climbs, Kimberly Queen Fern, and Yellow Portulaca. While all three picks can generally handle a bit of neglect, even in the heat, showering them in water-soluble flower-boosting fertilizer every 2 weeks, in addition to the regular watering, will keep the pink and yellow blossoms nice and vibrant and lush, she notes. As with any summer grouping, she advises watering in the morning after everything has had a chance to recover in the cooler temperatures overnight. The three rules of container TLC. Find your tempo. It's easy to determine a hydration routine, says Green, who recommends using your index finger as a soil moisture gauge. The dirt should feel like a wrung-out sponge. It shouldn't be wet and soupy, but shouldn't be crumbly and dry either, she notes. After planting the pot and giving it a good drink, test the soil daily for the next 4 or 5 days to learn when it begins to dry out and establish the cadence accordingly. Choose your fighter. Particularly in the summer, when you are watering the planters constantly, you're washing out whatever nutrients were in the pot in the first place. So it's helpful to replenish them with some sort of water-soluble fertilizer every 2 weeks. For bloom-forward arrangements, a flower booster is best, while an all-purpose option is ideal for foliage-heavy mixes. You can also alternate between the two, depending on which elements need it more. Make space for growth. Deadheading is essential. Anytime your flowers are looking spent, you want to get rid of them, she says. Use your garden snips or your index finger and thumb to break off the stem at the point where a new leaf is coming out. This tells the plant to stop sending energy to that flower and give it to the other ones. Be sure to trim leaves and vines, too, as they can overtake their neighboring blossoms and alter the shape of the arrangement. Secrets to a Good Life. Custom Kicks by Betsy Watson. This Tennessee native is redefining adaptive footwear. For Aaron Warren, manufacturing his feet into shoes was a time-consuming experience that often left him feeling uncomfortable or in pain. Last year, I was putting on my shoes and hurt my toes really badly, and it frustrated me, recalls Warren, who has a spinal muscular atrophy. In that moment, I was like, what if I could turn these into accessible shoes? What if I could just add a zipper to them? The Murfreesboro, Tennessee native began reaching out to local cobblers, eventually meeting Oliver Garner and his wife, Angel Garner, Celia, who together run the Shoe Man with Angel's Custom Creations. They worked with Warren to customize a pair of Nike Air Force One sneakers, his longtime dream, with subtle zips for easier accessibility. I didn't want the zippers to be very noticeable, notes Warren. I wanted them to be functional, but stylish as well. That the shoes weren't obviously modified was important for Warren. It feeds the want of inclusion, he explains. I always wanted to be fashionable and wear the same shoes that my friends wore, and I never could. I always wanted that feeling of being a part of the conversation. Now he's inviting others to the discussion. Last November, he launched Zipped Brands at Zipped Brands, aiming to make it easier for those who need adaptive footwear but don't want to sacrifice the looks they love. Right now, the collection includes men's Nike styles plus women's and kids' Nike and Dr. Martens options. With plans to expand the line in the future. The next pair that I'm so excited about is cowboy boots, he says. I live in Tennessee, and boots are like Nikes around here. Handcrafted custom shoes aren't inexpensive, says Warren, noting that price inaccessibility is something the disability community faces all too often. He's working to meet folks where they are, offering payment plans and accepting donations to help mitigate cost for those who want a pair of his kicks. Ultimately, he aspires to find partners in the big brands whose shoes they are reworking. I'm hoping we can show them that there is not only a need, but a want for this, he says. House call. The eyes have it. Protect your vision with DOC-approved shades. Everyone should wear sunglasses when they go outside, and the earlier this starts in life, the better, says Dr. Andrew Eisman. Don't let a cloudy, overcast day convince you to ditch the shades. The ophthalmologist adds, the risk of ultraviolet radiation is always present. When it comes to finding an effective pair, he says to look for 100% protection from UVA and UVB rays to minimize the risk of corneal damage macular degeneration, cataracts, and eyelid skin cancers. Bigger lenses that cover more of the eye and the eyelid are better, too. The price of glasses does not always correlate with the quality, so be careful to buy those that have these features, he explains. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.